J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Thursday, October 27th, 2022. 12 days remaining until the beginning of the end of our democratic system. How you doing, kids? This is JC. We're all in a very, very sad mood here today because of the death of Jerry Lee. What?
He's still alive?
Oh, okay. Well, we're back in a good... What the hell was that yesterday? I will tell you this. I've talked about this many times before. TMZ, they were the ones that reported the death of Jerry Lee Lewis yesterday. TMZ, 99.9% of the time, they are right, but they got burned yesterday, and I'm sure that Harvey is really pissed off because, you know, they've been able to brag about this because of their incidence of correctness, and the way they do it is they do it from the ground level. You know, instead of talking to public relations people and publicists and things like that, whose job generally it is to be like Kevin Demoff with the Rams, to keep you from knowing exactly what's going on. And what TMZ does, and the Inquirer did this too, but they did it in a very, very seedy fashion. But and not that TMZ isn't seedy, because they are. But they do it in a little bit more professional manner. But they pay off the, you know, parking attendants and the, you know, the doormen and the people who work the desk at hotels. And all these people know everything that is going on. People come in and go, and they know who's in the building, and they usually even know why. And that's how TMZ gets their stories. But for whatever reason, they screwed it up yesterday. And so now they have a giant blemish on the entire thing. But I will tell you this, generally speaking, when something like this happens and you get a false report, it's one of two things. And this doesn't help anybody because you could toss a coin. But it usually means that either A, the person's just fine, or B, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was this, that he'll check out sometime like in the next 4 or 5 days, maybe the next week or something like that. So for right now, the killer is still kicking. Not the same can be said for Herschel Walker. We wake up this morning and find out that another woman has stepped forward and said, oh, yeah, you want to hear the recordings? Here it is. Oh, I love you, baby. I love you. Now go get that abortion. And he sat in the car and waited outside because she had at one point changed her mind about going through with it. And so what was supposed to look like genuine concern on his part for the well-being of the woman that he impregnated, it was actually him just making sure that she went through with it. And she's got pictures of him laying on her bed in her room and, I don't know, a couple of other little pieces of evidence. And, of course, Herschel just pops up and said, it's all lies. None of it's true. The Democrats are getting desperate because they really know that Georgia is probably going to, depending on if a Democrat wins, then it's probably going to mean control of the Senate. If Herschel wins, it probably means that the Republicans are going to take over the Senate. And so he's expressing his opinion that this is all about desperation and this really isn't real. And why do I have this feeling that another woman is going to show up sometime in the next 2 weeks, in the next 12 days, because that's what we're looking at. All right, Blues lost. But the big news yesterday was in Cardinal baseball. And as you know by now, Adam Wainwright is coming back, which, you know, I don't know. I scratched my head about this. And then you realize, hey, he's 5 wins away from 200. And it would put him, I think, number 2 on the all-time list of Cardinal starters as far as wins are concerned. And so I guess that I understand. Some people might interpret that as being a little on the selfish side. But I don't think so. I mean, if you look at it this way, we were told all year that the three guys were going to walk off the field together. And then you started noticing that it was two guys and not three. And you began to suspect that maybe Adam Wainwright was rethinking things. Now, he had a pretty good season. He had a pretty good regular season. But the tank went dry as the, you know, final month of the season was upon us. So the question, and it took... I should look this up. How many wins did he have last year? How many wins did Adam Wainwright have in 2022? What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? What's the matter? How come you're not talking to me? Oh, that's better than I thought. He was 11 and 12. Okay. Well, I feel a little better about it now because he should be able to crank out at least 5 wins by midway through next season before his arm falls off like Dave Dravecki or something. So anyhow, that's the big news. Also, the hitting coach, Jeff Albert, and the pitching coach, Mike Maddux. Now, the story was that they resigned. I'd be willing to bet that they were asked to hand in their resignations. And Skip Schumacher, the new manager of the Miami Marlins, and who knows, maybe one or both of those guys will end up in Southern Florida. And the big question, and by the way, why isn't Mike Schilt getting offers? I can't understand this. I cannot understand this. Schilt deserves another shot, and it's like they're deliberately bypassing him. And don't I know about that, incidentally? And then the other question is going to be, because I think people figure, oh, Albert's retired now. He'll be hanging around St. Louis. And, ooh, wouldn't that be great? Have him be the bench coach or the hitting coach or some sort of special advisor. And the answer is, you forgot. Albert's got, well, people are arguing about whether it's 10 or 20 years. But he's got a commitment to fulfill in Anaheim. He is going to be part of his deal, his 10-year deal with the Angels was that he was going to have like a special services contract, which is not that unusual for superstar players. And the organization was like, yeah, well, you know, we after you're done playing, we want you to hang around for 10 years to help out and to do stuff with the franchise, not just public relations, but all sorts of stuff, a special services contract, bingo. Well, he's got to start that at some point. And I, you know, I don't know, I haven't seen his contract, so I don't know exactly what it says, but that's the way that works. How does the world not work? Talk to Kanye West about that. His products dropped by TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Home Goods. So yesterday he shows up at the headquarters of Skechers. and just walks in and says, I want to talk to the boss. I want to talk to the man in charge because I'm a free agent now and I'm Kanye, for God's sakes. And I don't have a shoe deal anymore, so how about you guys? Kanye was escorted off the premises by security people and basically told, we are not even, your name's not even coming up. You are poison right now, so fucking forget it. Beat it, Jack. You know, I try to understand contemporary music. When I say contemporary music, I got a 13-year-old daughter, and she's like every other kid. She is listening to Meghan Trainor and Doja Cat and, you know, Lizzo and all that sort of stuff. And so that stuff is in the car a lot. But, you know, she also has a deep appreciation for classic rock and especially R&B. And the other day I was going past her room. She's playing Ella Fitzgerald. She's 13. So when the People's Choice Awards came out yesterday, I wasn't as bewildered as a lot of people my age. Taylor Swift nominated for album and music video of 2022. She just released the album on Friday, and they're already going to give her, never mind. Other male artists include Charlie Puth, Drake, Jack Harlow, The Weeknd, Luke Combs. Female artists, Beyonce, Camila Cabello, Doja Cat, Lizzo, Megan Thee Stallion, and Taylor Swift. For movie of the year, Bullet Train, Elvis, Nope, The Batman, Top Gun Maverick, Thor, Love and Thunder, TV show category, Better Call Saul, House of the Dragon, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Stranger Things, and This Is Us voting open until November 9th at votepca.com. Show will air on December 6th on E! And NBC. Kenan Thompson from Saturday Night Live will be the host. Yesterday, we did the story about the quizzical nature of Matthew Perry in his new book, just going after Keanu Reeves for reasons that nobody seemed to understand. Yesterday, Matthew Perry said, I'm sorry, I just picked out a name. Yeah, you mentioned his name twice in your book. I ain't buying it. And I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago, Nick Cannon and Herschel Walker were having a couple of drinks at a bar, and they made some sort of a pact to see how many women they could impregnate in the decade that was facing them. Nick Cannon reportedly expecting his 11th child. I can't even remember how many different mothers are involved in this whole thing. We've heard actors and actresses talk in the past of how uncomfortable and really how icky it is trying to film a sex scene for a movie or a TV show, especially movies where there's actual nudity involved, unless it's on, you know, cable or Netflix or something like that. And, you know, both men and women have said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When you watch the movie, oh, you're going to love it. And it was like they used to have an index. They could tell how many scenes were paused. They actually kept track of that. So you're just sitting at home watching HBO and some movie of the nude scene pops up, you know, like Basic Instinct or something. And you're like, there it is, there it is, there it is. All right, pause it. They keep track of that stuff, or at least they used to. So that's us on the receiving end. But for the people who are actually making the movie or the TV show, almost to a man or a woman, as the case may be, they've said it is one of the most unpleasant experiences ever. Jennifer Tilly thinks actors actually enjoy doing sex scenes. At least she does. She says it's because it's like an out-of-body experience and a free pass to make out with someone who isn't her boyfriend. Sheryl Crow remembers getting hit with flying poop at Woodstock 99. She says, and this is a quote, "That's when we stopped. We played about four songs, and I remember saying, nah, not going to do it," end quote. We have a Thursday Night Football game tonight on Amazon, and what's Tom Brady going to do tonight against a really good team, the Baltimore Ravens? Tom Brady and the Bucs just stumbling terribly. They could really, really get routed on this game tonight. All right, late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Michael Imperioli. Boy, it's been a while since we've seen him. Jimmy Kimmel's got Quentin Tarantino and Edgar Winter, Stephen Colbert, Kerry Washington, and Joe Walsh. Gina Davis on with James Corden. Diane Kruger pops up on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Apparently, Michael J. Fox has been opening up lately about a very, very tough year health-wise. You hate to see him suffer like that. Michael was a good guy. You may remember in, I believe it was 1990, he came in and visited us in the radio station at Corporate Square over there near Lindbergh and Olive. And he came in to promote the movie Doc Hollywood. And we were really, really excited. And we had the gurney races set up in the parking lot. And I mean, it was really, really cool. And Michael was a good guy. He very, very smart, incidentally. That guy is much smarter than anybody would know. And just a good guy to hang around, you know, just somebody to go and sit and have a beer with. You just hate to see him suffering like this. All right, birthdays today. Kelly Osbourne, Ozzy's daughter, 38. Matt Drudge, 56. Simon Le Bon of Duran Duran, 64. John Cleese, the superstar of Monty Python, 83. And Ivan Reitman would have been 76. I forgot that he died this year. Director of Stripes, Meatballs, Ghostbusters in the 80s, and then Twins, Junior, Kindergarten Cop, and of course, Dave. The 1990s starring Kevin Kline. It was 58 years ago today, 1964, Sonny Bono married Cher in Tijuana. Cher wore bell bottoms. They had a daughter, Chastity, who is now their son, Chaz. They divorced February 20th, 1974. Sonny, of course, died in a skiing accident January 5th, 1998. Number one on the charts, 49 years ago today, 1973, Midnight Train to Georgia. Somebody sent me the video the other day of the Richard Pryor special that I'd been talking about, and I may have made a mistake in saying that it was the Chevy Chase primetime special, but it was the Richard Pryor one where he had just the Pips, no Gladys Knight. And so they, it was really funny, and now the Pips, and they sang Midnight Train to Georgia, but they only sang their parts. Very, very funny idea, and it really played well on the TV special. History made, 1975 on this date, where Springsteen got a huge career boost, being on the covers of both Time and Newsweek. And the Boston Red Sox won their first World Series in 86 years on our turf on this date back in 2004. I had some people from Boston sitting behind me. We were sort of down in the left field corner. And these people were like in tears. And some of them were just in shock. And what had happened when it became clear that the Red Sox had a chance to play in the winning game, a lot of the St. Louis fans sold their tickets to Boston Red Sox fans, first of all, because why sit there and watch a funeral, watch your own team just sort of go down? And at the same time, they were getting top dollar. I mean, these people from Boston would pay anything to be inside the ballpark. So a lot of St. Louisans made a lot of money soaking these people from Boston. But you know what? I didn't hear anybody complaining about whatever price they had to pay for the ticket because they got inside. And then, of course, you're sitting there going, wait a minute, that's Jimmy Fallon. Hold it. That's Drew Barrymore. What the fuck are they doing here? They were sitting right behind the first base dugout. And when the celebration took place, when they beat the Cardinals and celebrated out in the infield, out by the pitcher's mound, Drew Barrymore and Jimmy Fallon were amongst the very, well, it was just players and them. And I can't imagine how much money the movie company had to pay to Major League Baseball to get that done, because it was going to be the climactic scene. It was all part of that movie Fever Pitch. And I think I remember reading something somewhere about the fact that the Red Sox winning the World Series actually fucked up the ending of the movie, and they had to rewrite the whole thing. Small price to pay, if you ask me. Every once in a while, I spot something really, really good for trivia nights, and there seems like there's a trivia night every weekend of the, usually during the summer, but during the winter months, in the fall and everything, there's always, you can find one every weekend somewhere. And I've emceed a bunch of these things, but I like to do my own questions. Like, we'll do the question. I'm like, yeah, yeah. I've been parts of those things before where the questions, the answers are wrong. And then it's your ass because you're standing up there and you're the person they see. So if something is wrong, they don't think, oh, we should talk to the committee. No, they come after your sorry ass. So I try to make sure that I got a whole thing too. I got computers that I use. I do a lot of music, a lot of sound bites, a lot of pictures and stuff like that. So I do a really, really good job on that sort of stuff. But here's a good question. Here's a good question. I think everybody knows Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles was the first song ever played on MTV back in 1981. Here's your question, though. What was the second song ever played on MTV? Answer being You Better Run by Pat Benatar. Getting closer and closer to Halloween, and if you are an adult dressing up, you're weird, apparently, or at least in the minority, because a new poll found that more than two-thirds of adults won't be wearing a costume this year, and 42% say they never dress up for Halloween. Dressing up is still pretty popular until you hit your 30s. Then you do it less and less, and most people under 30 will wear a costume this year. But 45% of people in their 30s say they're not going to do it, and over 80% of people in their 50s and 60s are not going to dress up. And for seniors, oh, big surprise here, 93% won't bother. I guess my question is, who are the 7% of senior citizens that are going to dress up for Halloween? Anyhow, two-thirds of costumes will include at least one DIY element. Only 35% of adults dressing up will wear a completely store-bought costume this year. I swear to God, when I was a kid, I think my costume was like $2.99 and was made out of that nylon shit. And it was just that little mask. Seinfeld did a whole thing about that, but we're not going to do that until Monday when we actually do our Halloween show. I'll play back this bit from Seinfeld. It's really, really funny. Most popular types of costumes for adults are a fictional person or character or an animal or creature or historical figure. Top word people would use to describe their costume this year is funny. A couple of years ago, I dressed up as a nun. That got a lot of laughs. 6% of us are coordinating our costume with a coworker. 1 in 4 Americans still think blackface makeup is okay for Halloween. Answering the question, are there still people in this country who live under a rock? And then there's the mom in Australia who ordered a fake corpse Halloween decoration from Amazon, but her 10-year-old son opened it up. It was a sex doll. I guess it was in the 80s when Americans started buying bottled water. And then a couple of years after that, people said, well, you know, if you really want your wine protected, you should really buy boxed wine, because that way no sunlight or any of the other elements get at it. And if you can find your favorite wine in a box, that's actually a better way to buy it. A lot of people didn't buy into that, just couldn't accept the idea of buying your wine in a box. Well, now the whole thing has come full term, because a boxed water brand has teamed up with a boxed wine brand to sell a huge box that combines water and wine, both red and white. They're selling them online next month for $45 while supplies last. Man found a wedding band in the English Channel recently, and I guess there was some sort of marking, some sort of inscription inside the ring, and was actually able to track down the owner. He's all excited. He's, you know, doing his good deed. He goes way out of his way, lots of time, probably spent a couple of bucks trying to figure out where this woman was, tracks her down, contacts her. I found your ring. She says, throw it back into the ocean. I threw it away on purpose after a bad divorce. No good deed goes unpunished. A lot of people are unaware of this, and when I tell people this, they seem absolutely agog. But the incidence of euthanasia in pets, if you got a black animal, cat or dog, it may have made it into your house, and that's good, because the incidence of euthanasia for black animals is disproportionately high for black animals. People won't adopt black cats and dogs. This is the obvious connotation of a black cat, and a lot of people don't want that. But the other reason why is that people say they don't photograph well, which is absurd, because we always adopt black animals because of that reason. So we've had 2 black cats now for 15, 16 years, and when it was time to get a dog, we got a black dog. Those animals have very little chance of making out of the pound. So, you know, 2 rules of thumb on this. Don't buy animals from a pet store. Almost all of them come from these puppy mills all over Missouri, so don't do that. Don't encourage it. And if you can adopt a black animal, do so. And today, by the way, National Black Cat Day. A male Dollar General employee in Florida arrested for allegedly pouring bleach into his co-worker's Pepsi after an argument. He told police he did it because the co-worker was difficult to work with. And a California cannabis company being sued for not making people high enough. Supposedly, they were lying about the THC levels. And Germany, by the way, the latest country to legalize recreational marijuana. On this day 2 years ago, I went into the doctor for what was supposed to be an outpatient procedure, a little urological thing. No big deal. You come in, we take care of this. You go home an hour later. And it ended up with me being in the hospital for roughly 3.5 weeks. Infection and then bleeding and all sorts of stuff. And then I ended up with pneumonia. And all this while COVID was going on the floor below me. What a nightmare. Outpatient surgery. You fucked up. You trusted us. It was on this date, 1988, that I was asked to drive out to O'Fallon, Illinois, to the mall. Because, very popular show at that time, 1988, L.A. Law. And the mall had basically said, hey, Corbin Burnson, what you do is you come on out here and stand up on stage and just wink at some of the housewives and just basically talk about what it's like to be on the show and let people get a good look at you. Because he was sort of like a sex symbol, particularly for women in their, you know, like 40s and 50s and stuff like that. And so I was given the opportunity to do that. I brought along for him a St. Louis Cardinals hat and presented it to him. He would not put it on. He's a big, big Dodgers fan, and he just figured, I'll put on this goddamn hat, somebody will take a picture, and the next thing I know, I got trouble back in L.A. So he refused to put the Cardinal hat on. Unbelievable. And I've talked about this before. The reason I'm able to go back and pull out dates like this, I mean, 1988, that's a long time ago. The reason I'm able to do that is because I keep track of everything I do. It's sort of like a journal that I keep. And everything important that happens on whatever particular day that is, I can go back, oh, I think 82 is when I started doing this. So I can go all the way back to 1982 and tell you where I was, what I was doing, and stuff like that, you know, given whatever particular date we're talking about. Victor, I was just talking about you, my black cat, so why are you meowing like crazy here? Huh? Can you let me do my job? I picked him up here, so now he's being quiet. He's yakking. Anyhow, I'm scratching him now, so he's quiet. Anyhow, back to the business at hand. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So most of the stuff is I have all of those notes going all the way back to 1982. And so at some point during the podcast every day, I go back there and I you know, look at those notes and I go, oh, look at this. What happened on this date in 1988, like the Corbin Burnson thing? This is an unusual thing, but I have record of this for reasons that I would take too long to go into, but it was on this date, 1974. I was a junior at Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, Illinois, and I went to go see Fleetwood Mac in 74. This was before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks joined the band. So this was in the sort of Penguin and Mystery to Me days, you know, and they did Hypnotized. And again, this being 74, as late as 69, Fleetwood Mac was still considered a blues band. So we got a little bit of everything that night. And it was on this date in 2009. I have a red cross on the calendar. The ratings for our morning show at KITS 96 had just come out, and we were top three as usual. And I finished the show, I go back in the office, the program director comes down and does one of these come with me things. I don't know what it's about. I'm not in any trouble or anything. We didn't say or do anything that should have raised the ire of the community or the FCC or some sponsor or something like that. So it's, I don't know what it is. I go walking back. He walks down to the general manager's office. They close the door and they say, you did your last show today. We're pulling the plug on the morning showgram on K-Hits 96. And I started laughing because it was just another glaring example of the ineptitude of radio station management. How can you have the show that we had that was that popular and claim that it cost too much money. We have to cut back. Well, it wasn't until a couple of months later that I found out that that company that owns the radio station, or owned it at the time, was this close to completely going out of business. Now, again, they had radio stations in something like 12, 14 cities. And it wasn't just that there was one station in trouble in St. Louis or something like that. The entire company, the entire chain of radio stations, I don't know, something like 30 some odd radio stations, spread all over the country. This multi-million dollar company was this close to going out of business. And so they were told, you have to cut. All right, how much do we have to cut? 5%, 10%? No, you got to cut like 40%. It was like that movie, The High and the Mighty, where the plane is over the ocean and it starts losing power. And so they're just trying to figure out anything they can do to stay in the air. And so they're ripping seats out of the plane and throwing them into the ocean to try to maintain their altitude. And this is what happened to these guys. These guys came so close to completely going out of business and having to sell it, which they eventually did. But on that day, they got rid of six people, me, Katie Cruz over on the Casey side, and then a couple of other people. And then prior to that, there was a bloodletting of another six people the week before that. And then about once a month for the next year, every Friday, it would be like, who's getting whacked today? That radio station used to have five radio stations in there, five radio stations in that building in Union Station. And I think there used to be about 130 employees in there. Now there's like 20. So people to this day like to just, you know, repeat that mantra that they have, you've been fired from every radio. Well, that's because people don't know anything. And how many dozens and dozens of people were laid off? For years, I've been telling you that it's idiots and morons who run the broadcast industry. And people are like, oh, JC, you know, you're always ripping on these guys. And it's like, well, think about it. Think about it. 20 years ago, if you owned a radio station, you had basically a license to print money. You know, just throw something on the air, play some music, hire some people, and boom, you're going to make money. And now, almost every company left that's still operating is in some sort of bankruptcy protection. One company with like 700 radio stations spread all over the country is $20 billion in the red. And the guy who runs the company spent $1 million on renovating his office in New York. And when you go to visit this guy in his office, you go through a little hallway, a little chamber that is like the butterfly house that has misting that comes down. You walk through a mist and then you walk into his office and he spent $1 million. This, while the company is $20 billion in the red. So go ahead and laugh about all the jokes I make about the people who operate radio stations. But I was right all along. I was right all along. You take a license to print money and turn it into bankruptcy proceedings? No further questions, Your Honor. And like we said, only 18% of people say they're going to wear a scary Halloween costume this year. You know, like a witch or a zombie or a glass of drinking water from Camp Lejeune. And with that, that's the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, October 27, 2022. There's only 12 days until it all starts coming down. Wait till you see the shitstorm that's going to happen a week from Tuesday. My God. All right, we forge ahead. We're here every weekday morning right about this time. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything is archived. We keep them all right here. You can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran, although I'm not able to post anything for another 3 weeks. Oh, they showed me, didn't they? Can actually get some work done around here now. And if you see fit to tell a coworker or a neighbor or a family friend that we are doing this podcast every weekday, that would help too. We appreciate it. Have a great day. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.